Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here, Redskins Talk Podcast, coming your way. It is Wednesday. Week 3 is approaching. Tandler, the Redskins have the Oakland Raiders coming to town for a Sunday night matchup. We know how the Redskins have done in prime time. There is a lot for us to discuss. How are you, Rich?
Doing great.
Are you? You sounded like you just swallowed a frog.
No, I'm fine.
All right. I don't know about you, but I'm still a little tired from the West Coast trip.
Yeah, well, you just got back. When did you get back? You just got back Tuesday afternoon, right?
Yeah, I got back Tuesday afternoon. I got to tell you, Tandler, I got to play Torrey Pines, man, in San Diego. That golf course is incredible. I can't imagine. Now, I've never been to Pebble Beach in San Francisco, but outside of that, I can't imagine a more impressive piece of land in the universe, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, literally, the whole time you're playing, you're just walking along the cliffs of San Diego. It was pretty spectacular, man.
That's great.
All right, so stuff for us to talk about. A lot has happened since the Redskins played the Rams. One of the most interesting things, I think, is the Skins now are right back in the thick of the NFC East race. Now, you know, they're behind the Eagles because they lost head-to-head. But the Skins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys are all 1-1. I think the Cowboys being completely unable to run against the Broncos is a pretty big tell of how you beat Dallas. I think the Giants being 0-2 and looking terrible is pretty surprising. I don't know about you on that, Taylor.
I was not a Giants believer. As soon as I heard Ben McAdoo, like their practice, like the Wednesday before the season started, and say, hey, that's like practice in December or January or February. Like, you know, they're going to the damn Super Bowl. I'm like, these guys are in trouble. And, you know, they're told, oh, yeah, we can be great. Players stay and we can be great. It's just, guys, you won 11 games, well, one and done last year. Calm down.
All right, so we got Tandler all fired up already. You know what I think I just heard? So the first time I heard your acting voice was last Saturday in Venice Beach when you told me where the Muscle Beach was.
Yes.
I think you just did the same voice for Ben McAdoo.
I did. It was very similar. Yes. Very similar.
All right, but here's what I will say: the Eagles are, I think, look pretty good. To go out to Kansas City, give the Chiefs a pretty tough game. Wentz threw for more than 300 yards again. The Eagles can't run the ball. If they can figure out how to run the ball, they're going to be a problem in this division.
Yeah, that's tough to do, though, as the Redskins found out against the Eagles. Well, it's tough to run. Let's see. So let me pull that up real quick. They had 17 rushing attempts. Guess why they didn't run the ball?
Yeah.
because they didn't run the ball.
What do we like to say? You got to run the ball to run the ball.
You got to run the ball to run the ball.
Right. It's one of those
17 attempts doesn't do it.
It's a very unique, it's probably like physics related or something, but you have to run the ball to run the ball.
Right.
And
no two ways about it.
You know what the Skins did in L.A.? They ran the ball.
Oh, and 55 their yards. So they got 52 yards from their running backs. They had 13 for 52 from the running backs.
Yeah,
Wentz went 4 for 55.
Dak was the leading Wentz was the leading rusher, right?
Yes.
And then the Skins on the other side, what they have, almost 40 carries?
Yeah, I believe it was 39.
Yeah, but I think three of those were Kirk.
Right. What are you talking about, against the Rams?
Yeah.
Yes, three of those were Kirk. So 36 by running backs.
Which is impressive. And I don't think P. Ryan was particularly impressive, but he showed some growth in the second half of that game. All right, let's talk about something. If Rob Kelly can't go, your confidence in Mac Brown, a scale of 0 to 10.
Well, I have decent confidence, 6, 7. Mac Brown would not start.
Right.
He'd get some carries.
He'll get
He'd
carries.
Have the P. Ryan role, and P. Ryan would have the – and P. Ryan and Thompson. Thompson, you know, Thompson gets a lot of – he had more snaps than any running back. But he only had 6 touches. Of course, the 6 touches went for 77 rushing and 29 receiving.
Right.
So he did a lot with a little.
But he's
in there a lot as a pass blocker. He's in there. He's in there a lot and doesn't get the ball in his hands.
But against the Rams, Thompson had 7 targets as well. So, you know, that touch total could have been more like 9 or 10. I mean, we know he had the one big drop.
Right.
All right, so you're not surprised by the Giants. Are you surprised by the Eagles or the Cowboys?
No, I thought the Eagles would be pretty good. You know, I think they have that good, they probably have the best defensive front 7 in the conference. And I think that's where a lot of their strength is from.
In the conference or in the division?
Excuse me, in the division.
Okay.
In the division.
Because that Seattle front 7 is pretty damn good.
Yes, no doubt. The Cowboys, I can't say that I'm shocked. You know, their defense is going to struggle, and if they can't outscore teams or run into an offense like the Giants, it just stinks. Everybody was lauding the Eagles. The Cowboys' defense after that they beat the Giants and held them to, was it 3 points. But you know the Giants, you know, without they didn't have OBJ at all in that first game. He was not himself. He was not the full OBJ in the
for sure.
Last night he was not healthy. He was not moving like he does. Yards after the catch, that sort of thing. So with them, Cowboys defense, you know, show me something. I haven't seen anything from them yet.
I agree. I thought the Cowboys were going to take a big step back. I liked the Giants. I think the division's going to be tough. I think you're not looking at any team with below. There's no terrible team. There's no team that's going to go 4-12 in this division. So that almost makes it tough on its own because usually every division has one bad team that kind of gets beat up on.
Right. Well, and therefore, in part because of that, nobody's going to go 12-4 either.
Right. Agreed. All right, let's touch on a couple quick things. I'm guessing you're not going to want to get too far into this, and I don't really want to either, but we can't ignore the RG3 Santana shit that popped up with Shanahan over the last couple days. Do you want to tell the story, or do you want to react? Because I can do...
All I want to say is why. That's really my only comment.
Why? Why what?
Why? Why... Bring it up. Why respond to it?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Tana's a friend and a good dude. I imagine he was asked that question or somehow it came up. You got to remember, he's on the radio talking for an hour or two. So I'm guessing that kind of just popped up. And it doesn't make a lot of sense for Griffin to respond in the manner he did, I don't think.
Like with three, he kept on going at it, going at it. He took three shots to make sure everybody knew that it would be a huge, you know, a huge, very temporary, you know, it lengthened the lifespan of the story from 24 hours, maybe less, to, you know, 48 hours. Thursday, nobody's going to remember, nobody's going to care.
Unless Kyle Shanahan gets asked about it in his presser.
Oh, Kyle's way too smart to say anything about that.
I agree, but he's going to get asked about it. You never know.
He wasn't there. How is he going to say he wasn't there?
The conversation.
This whole thing's about 2014 on, bragging about both of them getting fired.
Well, yeah, but it's also about, maybe. Yeah, I do think you're right that Kyle's not going to say anything. So I agree with you there.
Right.
I also, if you actually read Santana's comments, and Chris Lingebach on 106.7, from 106.7 rather, did a good job of transcribing the full thing. Tana really...
You know what? I don't care enough.
All right. But Santana really didn't say anything for RG3 to get that upset about. But what do we know, right? We know that RG3 lacks self-awareness, particularly when it comes to social media. So none of this is sadly that big of a surprise either.
Right. No, I was not at all stunned to saying what's going on here. How is he saying these things? No.
All right. So whatever. We've addressed that now. I saw something. I can't remember who asked on Twitter. If you had to pick an NFC East quarterback for your franchise right now, now whether that's for the next 5 years, 2 years, whatever, what would you do?
Okay, well, let's go. I'd probably take Carson Wentz. I would not take Eli. I would not take Dak unless Zeke and their offensive line came with them. Cousins, you know, you can't look at Cousins' numbers right now and say you'd take him. So I would take Carson Wentz. I think Wentz will get better. I think he would help me possibly more this year, but certainly down the road.
I think it's either Dak or Wentz. I think it's Wentz. Just, I mean, the plays he can make moving his legs and getting downfield or not and – and Dak can do that too, but I think Wentz has shown to be a bit of a more accurate passer. And some of this might be recency bias because Dak didn't look that good against the Broncos. So, but that brings me to my bigger question that neither of us are picking Kirk. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, so during the conference call on Monday with Jay Gruden, I asked him basically – I said, Kirk hasn't been very good in the first two games of the year. What's going on there? And Jay was smart and said, hey, we're really, really close. I think this thing is going to be good. I think they're going to be close. So what do we make of Kirk Cousins through two games?
He was generally, he's been good in spots here and there. You know, I think against the Rams, if Thompson holds on to that one pass, I think his numbers obviously look a whole lot better. But he started that game well in that first drive, first couple drives. You know what knocked him out? And I didn't do this numerically. Just kind of looking through the play by play. What knocked him out was those fade patterns. They were going to put the game away in the middle of the second quarter. It's going to be 17-0. All they got to do is get a touchdown, and he threw those passes. And then the next time, you know, they ended up getting the field goal. The next time he had the ball, his first pass attempt, he got sacked. Later on in the third quarter, he fumbled a snap. You know, and his completions, had a lot of Cousins complete to somebody for no game, complete to somebody for 1 yard, for 5 yards. It was just not he just like lost everything that he had after those fades. And then finally in the last series, he got it back together.
They needed it too. I still think Kirk, I mean, Kirk's still a good player. He's going to get there. I think the loss of Sean McVay is having a pretty big impact on Kirk Cousins, though. I really do.
Why? What?
I mean, he has
started slow. He has started slow. He started slow with 2 years with Sean McVay here.
Not this slow. Not since he was named starter.
Well, it depends on what you mean slow. I mean, yeah, you know what? He has some good. He's had terrible week ones. His first 2 years.
Week
two against the Rams, they won, but they had. He passed for like about what he passed for against the Rams yesterday. Had a slightly better passer rating, so that was about the same. Last year, week two against the Cowboys, okay, decent game. Obviously threw the red zone interception.
Right.
So he has not been great weeks one. He's improved statistically in week two somewhat over week one, but not. Not tremendously. If Chris Thompson catches that pass in his hands, he has a pretty decent day, even if he does everything else he did.
I agree. I think there's room for us to both be right. I still think Kirk is missing Sean McVay a lot. But here's the other thing we got to talk about is...
In terms of being a guy who's there, a mentor, a guy in terms of play calling, what is he missing?
I think as far as somebody he works with every day on the practice field and preparing as they install the offense during the week, what Sean is so good at is identifying who's going to be open pre-snap and as the play is unfolding and really harping on that throughout the week. I think Kirk misses some of that. And then I do think there's an element of not having Sean in his ear before to call the play and then to look at the formation depending how quickly they get out to the line of scrimmage. I think there's some of that as well.
Okay, I think you're supposing a lot there, but we don't have any facts to work with
I'm certainly not supposing the practice stuff during the week. I mean, that's McVay's strength.
Oh, well, you're supposing it's having an effect when we don't really have any, when he's, weeks one and two, it just takes him a while to get going. He wasn't better week one and two with Sean as compared to without him.
He's been better week two with Sean.
Marginally. He didn't throw a red zone interception on Sunday, in a close game. Like he did week two last year.
I think there was growth in the fourth quarter drive to win it, especially to get a touchdown and not have to rely on a field goal. So, dude, I'm not condemning Kirk Cousins. It's two games into the year. I think to dismiss the notion that the offensive coordinator that he said he owes his career to not having him, isn't having an impact is a little silly, too.
Okay, I just think I just think you're stretching it.
You're dismissing that the guy Kirk Cousins says.
I'm not completely. I'm saying we have no evidence of it.
You're being binary as usual.
Absolute evidence.
The quarterback himself says, "I owe my career to this guy," and you don't think that's a possibility that he misses him, and that's why maybe.
I'm not saying it's not a possibility. I'm saying you're just saying something without a whole lot of evidence to back it up.
And
that's all.
You have no evidence to. All right, dude. We're just going to keep going down here. We disagree on this. How about we leave it there?
Can't prove a negative, but yeah.
Oh my God.
We'll leave it there.
You're so annoying. This is not. The Wednesday podcast is not supposed to be our annoying one where we fight. All right, let's do. All right, we got to discuss Sua Cravens, and now is not the time for us to get into the everything that happened to get to this point. That's probably, we've talked about it, and there's probably too much there to dig into because we got to get to our over-unders. But what does it mean from a football standpoint? DeShazer Everett, Monte Nicholson, or I think they want Monte Nicholson to be the future at that position.
Obviously, since they started him in his second game, a guy who missed a good chunk of training camp with an injury, didn't miss it necessarily, but went through walkthroughs the first 2 or 3 weeks they were there.
Right.
Moving him up in there, I'd say they definitely want him as the guy there.
Well, you know what he has that a lot of the rest of these guys don't in the secondary is speed. I mean, he has track speed, and they can really use that. So I think, but you know what's scary, and I honestly don't know this. Do you know offhand, is he the shoulder he hurt in the Rams game, is that the same shoulder he had surgery on?
That I don't know.
And that's a big deal. If it is. I mean, if you just, you know, I mean, if you hurt a shoulder you had surgery on 3-4 months ago.
Right.
But I think, I tell you what, if Everett or Nicholson can't play, this safety position looks a lot different. Jay Gruden's talking about calling up Fish Smithson from the practice squad.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know. That would not be good if you had to do that.
Yeah, that.
But
we'll
see. It's pretty. Yeah, we'll see who's limited in practice tomorrow. Who's out? You know, I think if those two guys are both out of practice, I think then is the time to start wondering about it.
I agree. All right. That's something we will certainly keep an eye on. Let's get on to the over unders for the week. Since you won last week, I will take ownership that you won. Why don't you go ahead? Do you remember offhand to remind everybody the score between you and I?
Well, you won 1 week and I won 1 week.
Okay, but you beat me last week. You went 2-1. I went 1-2. Correct?
Right.
All right. So I still have the only sweep on the year. Just so we're clear.
If that's relevant anyway, yes.
All right. I got a really cool tweet from somebody that I want to read, and I think this will help us. So our over-unders, we're definitely going to do Kirk Cousins passing yards, because neither of us have gotten one of those right all year, I don't think.
Right.
All right, so I got a tweet from RR at Rohishan RR. I hope I got that right. So he sent this to me specifically for the podcast. Now, I haven't checked these numbers, but I'm going to assume they're right. Kirk Cousins averages for the week three as a starter over the last 4 years. So he says 42 attempts, he completes 55% of his passes, and he has 265 yards for a TD and a pick. So based
55%.
On 55%, it's pretty low, right?
Yeah.
Especially for Kirk.
Yeah, you know, obviously he's got to be including the last 4 years. So that was when that one of those would be against the Giants in the rain at the tail end of the 2013 season.
No. I believe he is saying week three.
No, third game as starter.
Oh, you're right. Third game as starter, correct. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That would be the Giants game in the rain. That would be. That be the Cardinals game in 2014?
So here's what I can tell you. Last year, week three in New York, if you remember, was the Skins' first win of the year that they desperately needed. He threw for 296 with two touchdowns, completing 60% of his passes. All right?
Okay, which was, that kind of got his season
going.
Rolling.
All right, and then the year prior to that, week three was again in New York. He completed 61% of his passes for 316 yards, one TD, two interceptions. So
okay, then I've got 2014 pulled up. Lost to the Giants 45-14, 19 of 33, 57.6%. That was a Monday night at FedEx. One touchdown, four interceptions.
Yikes. All right, so
53% passer rating.
Not good.
Anyway, that's interesting stuff. I mean, that's as good as drawing a number out of the air. 265 seems, you know, the way he's going this year, that seems about right.
I mean, 265 is right. If you remember, I think I wanted to set it at 265 last week, and we decided that was too low.
Yes, you went to 275.
So let me just say this. The Raiders defense through two games, it's two games, one against the Titans, who have a good quarterback, I believe, in Mariota, but the second one against the Jets, who are effing terrible. In week one against the Titans, the Raiders gave up 255 through the air. Against the Jets, they gave up 145 through the air. So let's discount the Jets.
So you don't really know. That's
right. All right.
That's too small a sample size against competent quarterbacks.
So do you want to set this thing at 265?
And I think somebody went to the trouble of figuring out scientifically. I think we should go with it.
All right, so Rohishan RR, we are using your stat. Thank you for sending that in. And folks, if you got stats for us and you want to set some over-unders, we will look. So hit us up on Twitter with that. All right, so Kirk Cousins' over-under is set at 265. Tandler, I am thinking because of Rob Kelly's injury situation, we don't really know what's going to happen there. Rather than set an over-under for Kelly, I say we set an over-under total yards for Chris Thompson. How do you feel about that?
Total yards.
Before we try to set a number, are you cool with that instead of a straight rush yards category?
We can do P-Ryan rush yards.
See, I think we should focus on Thompson because he's been so important to the offense.
Okay.
Are you all right with it?
Yep.
Because here's the thing, if we do P-Ryan and then Rob Kelly plays, that's going to vary significantly.
That's true.
We know Thompson's going to play.
We know Thompson will contribute, yes.
Okay, so in two games this year, Thompson had 56 yards and, 106 yards last week?
Yes, 106 last week is right.
All right, so you want to just split the difference and call it 75 yards?
Okay.
Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
All right, so 75, and it's total yards, not rushing or receiving, both.
Right.
Okay. So for our third over-under, I only wrote down X because I don't know what you want to do. In the past 2 weeks, we've done Terrell Pryor catches, and we've done Josh Doctson catches. So I was curious if you want to try to do catches again. I think we don't know what's going to happen with Jordan
Reed. You want to give something to the defense?
That's what I was thinking.
Over under sacks or takeaways?
Oh, just do a whole defensive thing? I was thinking we could do Zach Brown tackles, but I'm...
Nah, that's kind of... Tackles are a BS statistic.
All right.
They are. Coaches keep them. They're really goofy.
All right. You want to do takeaways? All right. So through two games, the Redskins have gotten two takeaways each game. Is that right?
Right.
Did they have two or one against the Eagles?
It's 2-2.
Okay. Well, then, let's set it at 2.
Okay.
And this means you got to go over-under, so that's going to be a tricky one.
Yep.
All right, and we're saying just defensive takeaways, right? Not special teams, should there be one?
No, let's go total takeaways.
Okay, takeaways
if
it is.
If Cousins throws an interception and they come back and the and Trent forces a fumble, that's a takeaway, too.
All right.
So total takeaway. Whatever officially counts is a takeaway, per the NFL, we count.
All right, I like it. I'm going to review real quick for our listeners. We got Kirk Cousins, 265 passing yards, Chris Thompson, 75 total yards, and then two total takeaways for the Redskins.
Yep, that's where we are.
I like that one. Okay.
You wrote these down, I assume, so we're not sitting here on when we do the next podcast going,
I just slacked them to you. Or actually, I just emailed them to you. So yes, I wrote them down.
Okay.
All right, dude. Anything to watch from you? We got to wrap here. I'm exhausted. I've been up since 5 a.m. West Coast time, and I need to go to sleep.
That's 8 o'clock. So what?
But, dude, it's just a long-ass day.
I know it is. I just went through it yesterday.
Right.
Okay.
So, anything to watch from you this week?
I'll just be Redskins Park tomorrow, cracking it out. Check for me on Redskins Nation on Wednesday and on Friday.
Now, that's a plug right there.
There we go. And realredskins.com.
And check both of us, our new Redskins show, Redskins Game Plan, will air Thursday night at 7, I believe. I will confirm the time. I'll probably post that to social media. But I hope you guys are watching all our new Redskins shows. We got Redskins 100 that airs on Mondays, and then Redskins Game Plan that airs on Thursdays. So you can always check your TV guide, like the guide on your cable or whatever.
Your TV to guide. Watch that. Did you get in the mail?
I just meant the button you press that says guide, but yeah.
Right, I know.
All right, RT, tell the folks to subscribe and let's get out of here.
Yeah, hey, subscribe. Thank you for listening. That's a good start. You got to subscribe. We're putting out a lot of these things. Keep track, subscribe, and comment.
Yes, exactly. We had a lot of fun. We got to meet some of the listeners when we were out in LA. If you are a listener and you see me in the streets, say what's up. If you made it this far, thank you very much. I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.